we were up against the hillside. I had about 10 or 12 men, and the German infantry was throwing hand grenades down at us. We were throwing them back at them, and the tanks were burning on the road down here. But they smartened up after 3-4 hours, I guess. We were like that. I didn't even know I had it until a couple of years ago. I had to have an MRI because of some fall I had taken. They found a piece of shrapnel in it. But finally, they got past the German tanks and came and just turned their guns up at us. So I looked around quickly and I said to my men, "Surrender." I still, you know, intellectually it was the right thing to do. Emotionally, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life. Because we were, you know, the difference between the Air Force and the ground forces. The Air Force, when their plane gets hit, they have no control over that. But on the ground, you have control over your destiny. We had no control. As a psychiatrist told me, he said, "What could you have done? All gotten killed? What would you have accomplished?" I said, "Intellectually, you're right, but emotionally, it's a terrible blow, and I have never recovered from it." One of the men with me went on to become the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Louisiana. We talk on the phone occasionally. We've been down to visit him, John Dixon. And he says, sometimes, he says, "I thank you for what you did. You saved my life." And then I turn around and say, "That son of a bitch." He said, "But you were right." He says, "There's no question in my mind. I know you saved all our lives." I said, "Yeah, but it doesn't feel very good to this day."
Up until that point, what happened?
I came to during after I fell. I don't know how long. I would guess about a half hour or so, because men were still around me trying to get out of their chutes and stuff. And I'd whack my head hard. One of my 5 conclusions of the brain. I gathered men around me, and we had little clicking devices as our signal. And I began to move. I always head for the high ground.
Now, how dark was it?
Pitch black. You couldn't see a damn thing out there. And in the history books, they talk about, I never knew this after the war. It was one of the worst storms in the history of the Mediterranean. We were tossed around like this up there. How those pilots did what they did is beyond me. And the British, 2 plane loads of British paratroopers were dropped right down into Mount Etna, right into the volcano. And the second night, our Navy shot down about 24 plane loads of our unit. They killed our assistant division commander, Kieran's. We jumped the first night, thank God, or bad as it was. After I gathered some men together using these things, I must have had about 8 or 9 men with me. When I began to move the men, we were quite a distance from any hills. We were out in the plain, and we were doing various things, getting together and checking men and stuff and making sure that, and there was firing going on all around us, you know, big shells and stuff. What is it, a 16-inch gun on a battleship, when that goes over your head, it sounds like a railroad car, and they were going over our heads. So I got these men together. We ran into a lieutenant, but he had another mission he had to accomplish, so we conferred a little bit. And then I began to move the men very carefully, because we didn't want to make a lot of noise towards this hillside. And just as it began to get light enough, we went up on the top of the hill, and as we hit the top of the hill, German tanks came right up the top of the hill at us. Well, I can run, even at my advanced age. We took off like rabbits for the side of the hill, which was the worst thing. We should have gone the other way. But then they would have gotten us with their guns. A couple of guys got killed. They weren't fast enough to get down there. And that's where I had the men. And then the bazooka team was down alongside the road. And John Dixon was with them. It was Pat Sheridan and John Brabluski. They were firing their bazooka at these tanks and got the 2 of them to burn. I don't know. We were throwing grenades up, they were throwing grenades down, and the tanks were burning on the road below us, but there was no place we could go, because if we walked out from the hill there, the guys on the top could have shot us. They would have seen us then, but this way they couldn't see us. All they could do was throw the potato mashers at us, which they did with great frequency. Then, when the German tanks finally came around at us, with their guns, the 88s pointed at us, we had no choice. I had to surrender the men with me, and the Germans, they were going to kill us, because their colonel in command of their unit had been killed. But they were too good of soldiers to do things like that. So they took us over across to a place, a gathering area.
Do you remember what they looked like? Did you see their faces?
Oh, sure. They were very angry. They were fine-looking man. This was an elite unit. It was the Hermann Göring Panzer Division. And they were fine-looking soldiers, and they were very angry. I didn't know a word of German at that time, and I'm sure they were debating whether to shoot us or not, but cooler heads prevailed, and they took us and marched us across. We were on this side of the road, and here's the road down below there with the tanks. They marched us over the other side of the thing where a friend of mine, and he had been picked up. They were up on top of a hill, and when the Germans came out to fire their artillery pieces, they were picking them off from the top of the hill, and they got them too. Too many people and too many tanks around, all over the damn place. But as General Student said, if we hadn't dropped, they'd have gone right straight down to the sea, and the seaborne invasion of Sicily would have been totally wiped out.